Good day, From the Source listeners. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Sean Barrett, who is the co-founder of community-supported fishery Dock2Dish in Montauk, New York. We're excited about speaking with Sean about Dock2Dish's restaurant-supported fishery program, which is very unique, and also other new developments that are going on with the CSF. So welcome, Sean. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Great to be here, Christine. Thanks for having us.
You bet. I was really interested to learn about Dock2Dish. Have you been going for quite a while?
Yeah, so we have. I mean, really, the kind of philosophy for Dock2Dish, and just, you know, since we were kids in Long Island, in Shinnecock, in Montauk, that really we've been doing Dock2Dish style sourcing for decades. But the actual kind of pilot program and official launch of the community supported fishery, we're in our third year now.
Okay.
So, yep, we're moving right along.
And is your background in fishing or restaurants or?
So my background is more heavily in restaurants. I grew up fishing in Shinnecock, but I also grew up in my parents' tavern. So I was kind of doing both. I was doing a lot of fishing growing up and a lot of working in restaurants, and then started. That's where I really was able to see the disconnect between what we were, you know, what we were having for dinner and what was available in the marketplace or in restaurants. Often was often a different, just a different kind of level of quality or freshness or things. So I had long tried to figure out a way of how to, you know, how could we get really super fresh what was coming to the dock that day to be served at the restaurants or, you know, to our local community member that night. And so that's really where kind of the DNA of Dock2Dish, you know, the origin or the genesis really began at a very early age for me.
Oh, sure.
And then it was when we discovered this community-supported fishery format that was borrowed from community-supported agriculture, obviously, but a membership model where, you know, where local folks could buy into a season. And that's really the magic moment, obviously. We realized that we could finally provide people with really super sustainable, safe seafood that was coming off our docks that day. And the trade-off was that they had surrendered their right, quote unquote, to demand. Historically, we live, as you know, in a demand marketplace where, you know, the suppliers really work to cater to the demand of the customer.
Right.
So, what a community supported fishery does is reverses that model and really puts the horse back before the cart and says, you know, you're gonna be receiving what's coming off the dock that day. And so that's what's seasonal, it's what's local. We use a whole bunch of sustainability ratings. And so that was a bit of a shock to some of our folks initially who, you know, most Americans are used to saying, this is what I want.
Right.
Now go get it.
There's a big education curve to say, hey, here's this species that you may not have even tried before, and here, we're going to give it to you.
Yeah, absolutely. There was some learning curves, but there was also great enthusiasm, and I think we also had kind of the luxury of coming behind community-supported agricultures out here on the East End are really prominent. The first CSA programs in the country were launched out of Amagansett, Quail Hill Farm. So a lot of our local neighborhood folks were already very well versed in how, you know, in taking what was coming off the farm that day. So they were in that synchronicity, that kind of seasonal groove where they knew, you know, you're not going to get tomatoes in April and you're not going to get melons, you know, in May. It's and the similar scenario unfolds with fish where our species, especially our migratory species. So it was already kind of like the path was already blazed, or the trail was already blazed for us there by our farmer friends.
Oh, sure.
So it was a, there was some learning curves, but definitely there was already like the doors were open for us, which made it a lot smoother.
No, that's great. And I know like community supported fisheries are growing across the U.S. It used to be only one or two, and now we're really seeing quite a few in different areas of the country. But something that you're doing different is something I really hadn't heard of before, is restaurant supported fishery. So I'm hoping you can explain how that works. And do you know if you're the only CSF doing this, or?
We were the first. We launched the pilot program of our first restaurant supported fishery, which is essentially just a step up from a community supported fishery. We put together a dozen forward-thinking chefs in the New York City metro area, from East Hampton actually up to Westchester County. And we launched the first restaurant supported fishery in North America. So since then, we've had two other community supported fisheries, one in New Hampshire, and we have a new a startup actually in Florida Keys who's working on putting together a restaurant supported fishery. So we were the first to put that out there and are kind of leading the path a little bit, leading the charge anyway with, you know, we're finding really great headway with the restaurant supported fishery. It's got, I think the benefits, when we look at, we learned, Christine, the Achilles heel to running a community supported fishery, often the labor is really hard. There's a lot of labor involved in our community supported fishery members to get filleted fish. And so the whole processing part of the formula is removed with the restaurants because the restaurants are receiving whole fish.
Okay.
So the restaurants are also able to use almost entirely, they use all of the parts of the fish. So we're in the community supported fishery, we have a lot of waste.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very efficient. The restaurants, they're chefs and sous chefs. I mean, they break down the bones, the stock. They make soups and sauces out of every conceivable piece of the fish. And they are also very effective at getting, our messaging is very important, to know your fishermen and mm-hmm. to really reconnect with local fisheries. And so we found that the restaurants are these great amplifiers, that they're front of house staff, the waitresses, the bartenders, the captains, they're all able to really give people a good kind of introduction to what restaurant supported fisheries are and why it's important that they know where this fish is coming from, who caught it, where it was caught, how it was caught, how it's rated by NOAA sustainability ratings. So all this really important transparency and accountability that comes in this type of a program,
mm-hmm.
we see that it's really, the restaurants are really able to kind of broadcast that and get the message out to like thousands and thousands of people at the end of the day. When you look at how many guests are served through our restaurants mm-hmm. for fishery, so there's a percentage that are actually ordering Dr. Dish fish, but there's a much larger percentage of guests who are seated at the table who may be ordering steaks or salads or whatever, but they're being introduced. The servers all give an introduction to their seafood program, their sustainable seafood program, and they introduce that they are members of the first restaurant supported fishery in the United States and what that means and why it's important.
Wow.
So
that's,
yeah, really
great
cool
marketing. I'm impressed they're doing that instead of just, you know, some restaurants just participate in something but don't let people know what they're doing. So is there an average cost then that they pay the CSF or RSF an average monthly amount and they receive a certain amount of fish? Because I would assume the needs differ by each restaurant.
So yeah, the needs differ between each restaurant, but we've also been able to kind of move them into a pretty set groove where they all receive a set amount of fish, and it's between 50 and 80 pounds of fish, of whole fish per week. And so what we really have emphasized from a sustainability perspective is that the old-fashioned mentality of like half-pound fillets or like the all-you-can-eat, you know, shrimp buffets or things like that, like the seafood is a treasure as far as like a nutritional or the protein on your plate. So we're a very high quality, low quantity type of operation.
Mm.
So we really encourage, and a big part of our sustainability mission is re-educating chefs and their guests also to the fact that, you know, a healthy seafood portion should be like 5 ounces, 4 or 5 ounces, you
okay.
know, of seafood, and not these kind of really half-pound servings of fillets and things like that. So we have a much smaller volume of fish to be delivered, but what we found is that the challenge 2 years ago to a lot of our chefs was to how to create as many dishes as possible with these smaller amounts of fish. And so now, 2.5 years into the restaurant program, we found that these guys have really stepped it up and created all these different ways of making many, many, many dishes with just
That's exciting. So about how much seafood are you bringing in every week? Now, I'm talking for the CSF first and then the RSF.
So on average, Christine, that's going to fluctuate greatly because there's all these varying yields. So
for
an example, you know, 100 pounds of black sea bass in early in the season when sea bass are a little smaller typically, we may only get like a 26, 27, 30% yield. That also depends on which of our fillet teams are in place and if there's any hangovers going on. But, you know, typically there's a lot of variables in that formula. So on the community sport of fishery side where we're dealing with processing and fillets, we can end up with anywhere between, you know, 1,500 and 2,000 pounds of fish a week, dependent on the species, on the yield. There's a bunch of variables in that formula. And so we have about an even amount of, we range anywhere between, you know, on average, I would say we go through about 1,000 pounds, 1,200 pounds a week of for our restaurant sport fishery. So all in, we're in between like 3,500 would be an average.
That's great.
Total weight weekly for us. Yeah.
Wow, and that's quite an extensive program, and I assume that it's supporting a lot of local fishermen there in New York.
Super excited about that, Christine. We've got over 42 local licensed commercial fishermen currently who are part of the cooperative, and so it'll contribute to the Dock to Dish cooperative, and where we're finding all these levels of excitement and the Dock to Dish formula. On the dock side of the formula, you've got this, to me, is the most heartwarming kind of and exciting, or equally as exciting, I should say, as the dish side of the formula. But the guys that we're working with are, for the first time in a generation, able to see where their catch is going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really exciting for them to see. In the community sport fishery, you've got guys bumping into people at the hardware store and at church who are saying, like, hey, you know, Captain Wade, I had your blackfish last week, or hey, Captain Beckwith, we had your fluke last weekend through the community sport fishery. And so there's actually this reconnection of the community to the local fishermen, which hadn't happened in a long, long time. And then for the restaurants, a lot of them we'll get to see. I mean, Dan Barber and Bill Talapan, April Bloomfield, these are some of the best chefs in the world, and they have a very heavy presence in social media. So suddenly, like, you know, Captain Decker will see his fluke or his bluefish is suddenly all over Twitter and, you know, all over Facebook and Instagram, and so that's really exciting. So, too, and then, of course, at the end of the day, we're able to deliver the highest dollar at the dock for our guys. So we have, on average, just kind of a uniform 15 to 25% increase for what the prices that we pay to our fishermen at the dock. So they actually get paid on the spot that day, and there's no more, like, 15, 30, 60, 90-day pay cycles, and, you know, so they're seeing just an across-the-board kind of bloom, this spectrum of new benefits that's what a community sport fishery is really designed to do, is to bring a lot of benefits to and directly market for the fishermen themselves. So we there's a lot of hugs and high fives going on the dock in Montauk these days, I can tell you that.
Oh, that's for sure. That is so exciting. And I'm sorry we're out of time, but I so appreciate you telling us a little bit more about the program there, and we're happy to support Dock to Dish as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Christine. Have a great day.
You too.